Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's right.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello, how are you? How's everyone? I don't know who's out here with us. I can't see.
No, it's just you and Eunice right now.
Hey.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad, yourself?
Yeah. Oh. What's going on?
Not much.
Not much
cold
here
weather.
Yeah.
It rained all day here.
Has it?
You know, it must be nice.
Yep.
I'd rather have rain than cold.
Yeah, well, it wasn't too bad today in Mass, you know. It's when the sun goes down, it gets cold.
Yeah. I got a thing on California DUI checkpoint locations, and I got it the other day. And all of them start on Friday, December 14th. Are going to be at undisclosed locations within the city limits. So basically, everybody that has a cell phone that should send out a text letting other people know just in case. And then they're going to start in Malibu, Glendale, Marietta, Redlands, San Rafael, Lake Elsinore, El Segundo, Redding, Ventura, Pasadena, Burbank, Palm Desert, Norwalk, Modesto, Santa Rosa, Santa Ana, La Quinta, Moreno Valley, Lake Elsinore, Oakland, Quinta, and they're going to have one. Starting in Burbank, they're going to be the 15th. Palm Desert is the 15th. Norwalk, Modesto, Santa Rosa, and Santa Ana, La Quinta are the 15th. Moreno Valley, starting on the 16th, or Oakland. And then the Quinta is going to have more on Saturday, December 22nd, and Saturday, December 29th. Novato, California, is going to have one on Friday, December 21st. San Rafael is going to have them on December 30th. San Leandro is going to have it on the 28th. So be safe. If you drink and you don't have to drive, you'll have a good time. But don't drive. Yeah, don't drink and drive, basically. And I published this earlier, and it's already gotten 273 hits, and I posted it a half hour ago.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, Bill's doing okay?
Yeah, he just had a rough day.
That's okay.
Has he?
Yeah, he was just doing his thing today, and he didn't take it to the. He just took a day off. But he's been busting his ass all week, so.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
he's got to get himself better, though, you know.
Wow.
You're going to straighten up and fly right, Bill.
Well, you know. He's had a lot on his plate for the last couple of years, Eunice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, right now that
sometimes
feeling.
You need a break. Yeah, well, you've had the longest journey of anybody, Eunice, with your fight and your battle.
Still fighting.
It gets tiring, you know. I'm sure you've had plenty of days where you wish it was just done.
Yeah, like this supposed to meet today's. Tomorrow's the the last day that they're supposed to meet, unless they met today, but I didn't hear anything, you know, so. And I was assured I'd be probably the first one to hear. So we'll just see. We got tomorrow. There's always tomorrow, I say. But that's all you have to do. You just got to keep hoping.
Do you have any news?
Nothing yet. They're meeting this week, but they won't tell us the day. But I was assured that as soon as other people knew that, I'd get a phone call right away. So once it goes back to the house, so because it's got to go back to the house. And they don't have to meet. They just have to do only a certain amount of them from the House has to vote on it, you know. And then it goes back to the Senate, and then it goes before the governor's board. So, I mean, before the governor to be voted on, you know, for him to pass it. So, and with all the trouble they got back here, listen, I'll be very, very surprised if they don't. If they don't, then they're really stupid. So, we'll just see.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all you can do is hope, you know.
That's it.
You can do. But I won't give up on it yet, you know.
No. No reason to.
Now.
It's keeping up with the fight.
Yep. You got to do it. And, you know, there's more important people in this. There's a lot of cases out there. Oh,
I was
going to
say, what is that?
What was that?
What's up, man?
Hello? What was that?
It's his phone. So, Eunice, you and I get to talk while he's busy on the phone.
Okay.
Now, when do you go back to Florida?
The 31st.
Okay, so that's after the holiday, but...
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually Christmas or New Year's Eve. Ooh, be careful when you travel.
Why?
Well,
on
I know you're flying, but you still have
off.
To drive to get to
no,
the airport
really.
And then get to your house. Oh, okay.
5 minutes from the airport to my house.
Yeah, but 5 minutes, okay, we're not going there.
Yeah, it's like, no, I get in at 10 minutes of 9 at night, so it's not like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, so.
I bet the weather is nice in Florida compared to up here, because you and I basically had, like, the same kind of weather. Oh.
Right.
Phil's the only one that is in the sunshine state. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, rainy state today, but...
I have a cousin that lives in Las Vegas, and he's going to be turning 70 in January, so...
Oh, for him. God
I haven't him. Seen him for a while, and I'm going to see, you know, what it costs for a round trip from Florida to there, and surprise him, you know.
Yeah.
He'll freak out if I walk through the door.
He'll be like, holy cow. Yeah. He'll be surprised, I'm sure.
Yeah. He also has a home in, I don't know if it's in Colorado Springs or Pueblo.
Right.
But it's somewhere, you know, in Colorado. So that's a beautiful country. Have you ever been there?
No,
where?
I've never been there, but I've seen pictures of Colorado. My grandma, when she was alive at the time, she had to be placed in a facility in Colorado Springs. It was a certain type of cancer place, you know.
Right.
And everything around there was like mountain area, you know, beautiful.
Like my mother lived out there. And if you looked out her kitchen window, you seen Pikes Peak.
Right.
And if you went out to the balcony on the other side, you see the desert. You know?
Wow.
And, you know, I got something I was going to play because I got a request for this. And I played this the other night, but this is, if you remember Paul Harvey, this is something he did 47 years ago. and it rings true today.
Okay.
Wow. There we go. Yeah, that, I got somebody trying to do some shit here.
Okay. We have interference tonight.
Ah. That's nice.
One is called If I Were the Devil by Paul Harvey.
Yeah, I heard it the other night. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd keep on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Would they?
Some shit, ain't it?
Yeah, I know. It's got to speak the truth. Even from 47 years ago. That was,
yep.
That came out 47 years ago?
Yep.
You said? Okay. I was 1 year old when that came out.
Really?
Yep.
I was doing my first, I was in second grade. No, third grade. Yep, I was in third grade.
That's why you're old and I'm not.
Yeah. So, Eunice, how have the people responded in helping you with that? Is that, can you tell me about that? Because I put it up on the blog and it got 300 hits, a little over 300.
We lost Eunice.
No, she's there.
Oh.
I don't,
maybe
she.
Hello.
Okay. You're back.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So how have the people been responding to what you've been asking for?
Oh, good. Good.
Hey,
so I went down and got my pills.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's right. I just the bowl.
You just what?
We don't need to hear that.
Put in a bowl.
Oh, okay. All right. Take me a little bit longer to come up the stairs, you know. So, that's why I love my condo. Everything's on one floor, you know.
Right.
It's just amazing. This place is too big for me, so I got like two dining rooms, two living rooms, a butler kitchen, a bathroom,
uh-huh,
foyer. That's just downstairs. And then we have a big porch, screened in porch, with little windows in the front. And then upstairs I have four bedrooms, a computer room, a bathroom. You know, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
You don't want to have any windows either. Ugh. I can't do it anymore.
Well, it sounds like you're giving up.
Giving up with the house?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Too old to run this house anymore, you know? It's too big.
Uh-huh.
Not that I've given up, it's just that, you know, there's like 86 windows. I'm talking tall, and there's like, we got 10-foot ceilings, you know?
Yeah.
So the windows are really tall. And then in the front porch, we have 9 windows, and they're all the little louver windows where you crank them out, and you have like 16 slats in each window. So, I mean, it's a lot of work to keep this up.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of, like, runs that are going on right now. This time of the year. And I have a full dance card this weekend. I won't be able to make it in the morning, but I will in the afternoon.
I was going to say, who are you dancing with?
I got to work in the morning, and then after that, I got to be in 3 places. But I was talking to Bill, and he said, well, you know, I would rethink everything. Because zooming around from place to place, welfare, nothing happens.
Well, it gets tiring, too. Can only
do
so much.
Yeah.
Did I tell you what we did a couple of Sundays ago?
Sure.
At the Knights of Columbus. Every year we put a function on for all the retired nuns.
Uh-huh.
Did I tell you about this?
No.
Because I don't want to repeat myself. You know, sometimes these old ladies repeat themselves.
That's okay. I'm not old and I do it.
Well, anyways, there had to be probably 75 of them that are retired. And what we do is we give them a ticket as they come in. And then what we have bottles of wine that we just call their numbers and they come up, you know. And plus we put a big meal on for them, from soup to nuts, and they look forward to it every year, you know.
Right.
So anyways, Everybody got a ticket, you know. Not everybody, but we had probably about 40 bottles of wine. So anyways, wow. The last one that was called, he was 96 years old. Phil, a nun.
Wow.
And she wore the habit that she's wore all her life. So she comes scuffling up to the table, you know, and there was a few bottles of wine, and then there was one in the bag, you know. So she goes, she's in the nursing home, so she goes, can I have the one in the bag? And he says, of course, why? She says, because I got to sneak this in. Yeah, she was so cute, honest to God. And they just loved it, you know. So one table probably went about, probably about 7 bottles, you know. So I go over to them and I says, okay, girls, where's the party tonight, you know? And they says, you coming along with us, Eunice? She says, I says, love to, you know. I says, I want to see you girls drink all these bottles of wine. But they do. They love their wine, you know. But
it's nice. I used to make small films, action films, horror films, and we've got...
Go ahead.
So it's just something that, you know, we've been doing for probably about 10 years, and it gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger each year, you know. So it's just something good that we do. I think that's a great thing to do because they don't have too many options, you know, when they retire, you know, unless they go out and they do some work on their own.
But. Well, you know, I'm not to switch gears on you, but I got sent this the other day and I forgot about it. And I was bummed just, and this came out the first. It's going to change gears a little bit on what you were saying, but. The fact that this guy is a convicted child predator.
Uh-huh.
And he's running for office again.
What?
Oh my God.
Where?
Yeah, let me hang on. Okay, what I'll do is I have to grab this right here. Okay, here we go.
17 years ago, now after a conviction, former Illinois Al Reynolds wants his
WGN's Julian Cruz live in the Loop, where Reynolds is launching his campaign to fill Jesse Jackson Jr.'s. Hi, Julian.
It's a measure of how steep a challenge Mel Reynolds faces, asking him how he can.
That's from my state.
Nobody is perfect. If it was a joke, be here. We wouldn't be getting off the clock. Some people that when the word first got out that I was thinking about running, lit up.
Mel Reynolds said he is finding support in the community in the 2nd Congressional District for him to try to retake the seat that he lost 17 years ago. Now, of course, Reynolds resigned from the U.S. House of Representatives in disgrace, abandoned by virtually every major political supporter. The Democratic Party throwing its weight behind Jesse Jackson Jr., who succeeded Reynolds in the 2nd Congressional District. Of course, now Jackson has resigned under the cloud of a federal investigation. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn announcing proposed dates for the primary and special election to replace Jackson Jr. And now Reynolds joining at least a dozen others who voiced interest or intent to run for the vacant congressional seat, but no doubt dogging Reynolds' efforts will be his criminal past, involving sexual relations with an underage campaign volunteer who told police she and Reynolds started having sex when she was just 16. Reynolds was tried and convicted on criminal sexual assault along with aggravated criminal sexual abuse, child pornography, and obstruction of justice. He was then given a 5-year prison sentence. But before he could get out of jail, prosecutors won a 2nd conviction for a series of financial crimes. Reynolds was found guilty on multiple counts of bank fraud, lying to get personal loans. He was also convicted of laundering illegal campaign contributions and lying to banks, mortgage companies, and the Security and Exchange Commission. Reynolds served another 3.5 years in prison on those crimes.
The most important thing, I believe, for a person when they make mistakes is what they do after they've made mistakes.
Reynolds says that he has been working with the business community trying to develop opportunities in Africa, among other locations. He also points to the raising of his children and talking about that in this society that we live in, the Judeo-Christian ethic of forgiveness, that he deserves another chance, his slogan, to finish the work that he started. In the loop, Julian Cruz, WGN News.
Fuck that guy.
Fred and C.
What's that unmuted?
That
just means, like, when that's going on, you can't see anything.
Oh, okay.
Well, for one, that's from my state. For two, that's sick. And he doesn't need to be in office.
No.
I don't care who he is.
He's very, very sick.
Yep.
Any Christian, please.
We're not Christian.
Nope.
Just an excuse.
That is just terrible. They had that guy on TV today who was arraigned for that. He sexually abused, like, the 8-day-old baby, but children up to 3.5. And his wife worked at a gym, and he would take them to the gym and abuse them at the gym. And his lawyer says that he's been getting death threats, you know. Well, death threats, you know.
Yeah.
I've had those before.
Yeah, they should hang this asshole from the penis.
Worse than that.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't want to be too
graphic.
Yeah, I
know, for being, yeah.
You know, because I can be very graphic.
I would be graphic. That's sick. I'm sorry, anybody that harms a child needs to be treated what they put out and then put to death.
You know something? He's been under the scope. I thought it was 2009. But it's been since 2005, but they only considered him a level one sex offender.
Yeah.
The level is fucked up.
Yeah.
You know? And he's 45 years old. So he's 45. How many years do you think this man has been doing this shit?
Yeah.
Far too long.
You know,
but there's people that do this that don't even get convicted.
That's because they call them
the
first sex offenders.
Right.
That's what this is
due. Well, the abusers don't speak up.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, let me tell you.
Or the ones being abused, I'm sorry.
So if I have anything to do with it, from 1, 2, 3 and beyond, they should be all put in one prison, you know, and let them do each other in.
Yeah.
Well, they normally do anyways.
You know. But the scary part is, and I want people to really know this, is they blame their victims.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Oh, well, this one shouldn't have had this hair color, or this one shouldn't have dressed this way, or this one is too beautiful, or whatever is a sickness that cannot be controlled or contained.
It can never be cured either.
No.
So they got to be aware of that. Can never be controlled.
Well, ladies, I want you to know that Art said hello to you guys.
Oh. Hello. Big hug.
Hello. Who's Art?
Art
comes on the show all the time. Well, I mean,
oh,
sometimes on the phone, but he's always in the chat.
Oh, okay. Hi, Art. What does Art think about this?
Well, he's probably at work, so he can't call in.
Oh,
yeah, he
okay.
can't call in. But, you know, some nights he's able to. or, yeah, you know, just to listen.
Travis didn't have his show last night, Phil.
No, he was probably watching the 12-12 concert.
You know.
The what?
The concert for Madison Square Garden last night.
Yeah, I know. I didn't watch it.
We were supposed to meet this week, but he was supposed to call me and let me know, you know. So I hope to get to see him before I go back. Cause we, you know, I got my husband's car, but it's not something I can travel a distance with because it doesn't have a heater.
Right.
So I mean, I can travel and lift it here, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I got a lot of things.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I got a lot of things that I have to do before the holidays, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got different parties we have to go to, and and I told my daughters, if you come to the house for Christmas, not one of you better walk in with a long face because I'm going to ask you to leave.
Yeah, my grandma
used to.
Huh?
My grandma used
to. Yeah, well, one of them always does. She comes in with her face down to her asshole. I just said to her, well, you know, you come in like this, and I'm asking you to leave because you're not spoiling my Christmas, you know. So, my son I have no problem with, you know, but I want this to be a joyous Christmas. I don't want to hear their problems. I got enough of my own.
Exactly.
What are you going to do when I die, I tell them? Going to have to take care of it then, aren't you?
I'm sorry?
I says, I told them, the girls, what are you going to do when I die? You're going to have to take care of them then, aren't you? So, but I know God's going to let me stand at the top of the stairs. I don't think he's going to let me go beyond that, but let me stand at the top of the stairs so I can see who I can kick down them. You know. But I just pray that this goes, you know, out of the committee tomorrow and into get put on the governor's desk next week sometimes, you know.
Well, you know, the funny thing right now is the Senate, they're, you know, a bill, they don't need a warrant to read your emails.
Hey, you know something?
Gonna go
I
to
have 20. Sense. Go ahead.
Gonna go to 22 federal agencies, and only a subpoena is required, not a search warrant signed by a judge based on probable cause. So if you think you're gonna, if you believe it, once you're gonna bend over twice because this is bullshit.
Well, yeah, it is because you know what? I mean, from my phone to a family member sent, you know, a couple of photos of my grandson, you know. I mean, holy cow, no big deal, you know what I mean? They don't need to be up in our business. I ain't doing nothing wrong. But you don't have to. All you have to do is just be online, that's enough.
Well, I must have sent 30 emails to Dr. Phil. As they say, the more you send, the quicker it'll get there, you know?
Right.
So I know Hermes has sent a couple and a few other people, but I sent another one out last night. I'll send another one out tonight. I was hoping that somebody will go, you know, go across it, you know?
Right.
So, but your friend called me the other night who's his name?
Ryan?
He lives out in Colorado.
Yeah.
So I said to him, get on your computer and just log in a 5-mile radius. How many pedophiles you've got around you, you know? He says, I'm out in the country. I says, I'm telling you, just do it, you know? So he did. Guess what? He almost had a fit. He had 8 of them. One lived like not even 3/4 of a mile from the grammar school.
Wow.
I know. Because there's one here in the town that I live in that's on the bus route for the high school kids, and they're not supposed to be on a bus route. Let alone near school.
You know, I mean, he was just totally shocked. Totally, totally shocked. He says, I can't believe this.
Wow.
He says, and I'm out in the country, you know. So I says, well, because how you do that, Phil, is you put in
you go to sexoffenders.com.
.com.
And then you put
in your
zip code.
Your zip code. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, so if just put yours in because you're going to be totally shocked. I'm telling you.
Oh, no, I already know. There's like
You already know.
Yeah, there's like 234 of them.
Yeah, in a 5-mile radius.
Yeah,
well, let's put it this way. There's a town, a small town here, okay? the whole town, which is probably just a couple mile radius all around the town, okay?
Yeah.
It's one in every 3 to 4 doors apart are registered sex offenders. There's 200 and something registered sex offenders in this one particular town. Okay.
Isn't that scary?
That's disgusting. That's ranging 18 and up and 18 and under.
And what is people doing about it?
Nothing.
But it was a couple years ago, there was a little boy. The mother was an idiot to begin with. Had her son wait on the front porch for a church bus. Okay. And the church bus came, and he wasn't there. And he was found murdered.
Wow.
But they don't know who did it because there's so many registered sex offenders in that town.
You know, there's such a stigmatism. What are people afraid of? See, this is what
I can't
understand, Phil. No matter what state you go into, you know, and the most heavily populated state is Florida.
Right.
That's where they all run to. And
they're
not even the ones that are, you know, there's hundreds and thousands that aren't even registered. They leave the state and they disappear and they don't register in another state.
No, they
you
don't.
Know.
And they try real nice. You know, they just show up at a church or wherever.
Oh, yeah. They do good works. They do, you know, so they can get the trust of parents and stuff like that.
Or the community. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so disgusting.
I'm sorry.
But it is, you know. I mean, what are people thinking about?
I don't know, because there's 15 registered in my town. And before there was one that lived, it's like a one-level little apartment thing on one side of my house and a property line. And there was a registered sex offender that lived in one of those apartments. I saw him outside one day. I said, you come anywhere near my home, my daughter, I'll kill you. I don't care.
You know.
Don't even think about it.
People just don't. You know what it is? They put blinders on. That's what they do. They put blinders on and they say, like everybody says, it will never happen to me.
Oh, yes, it will.
Never
because I stood out on Halloween and told parents, don't allow you not go to that apartment right there. That's a registered sex offender. I didn't care.
You know.
But
you
what are they going to do?
If one person does it, it doesn't matter. It's people don't want to.
They don't want to know.
Nobody wants to know.
No.
They walk
they
around
don't.
With blinders on.
Yep.
You know,
and
like,
oh,
if I close my eyes, it doesn't exist.
You know, when my son was murdered, people that I thought that would be there, and I'm talking close girlfriends, you know, weren't there. It was perfect strangers that went to my house and set up food and everything like that.
Right.
And you know what my friend said to me? Well, if it happened to you, it can happen to me. Well, you know, what can I tell you? You know, it's just, you know, but it and I've never done that.
Yeah.
I've never done that. I've never turned my back on any of my friends. You know,
no,
good times, bad times. Never.
I don't turn my back on friends, but you find out real quick
who your friends are. Yeah.
Yep.
You do. Yep, you do. You know. I had a remark made to me.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I had a remark made to me today that, you know, this isn't about the church. I says, you bet your ass it's not about the church. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Schools, attorneys, cops, firemen. It's everywhere. It's
doctors,
not just the
lawyers.
Church. It's everywhere.
You know, I got Marion's in the chat room, and she first one she says is, unfortunately, most people think if someone is on a sex offender registry, that automatically are child molester in the case. What was the person's offense? You can get caught peeing in public and have a offender for the rest of your life. The criteria is too vague as to who has to be on the registry, and it varies from state to state. So that bill you're doing for Massachusetts, you want to explain that a little bit, Eunice?
Well, it's for every sex offender, number one, for every pedophile that wants to ruin children's life from the age of 8 days old, which is a case right now. We have another case where a pediatrician molested children at Children's Hospital for years and years, and the hospital covered for him. And then he moved out of the state. I think he went to North Carolina or Maryland, somewhere down there, did the same thing. Then they had enough of charges to bring him back up here. And what he did was he went in the woods and he shot himself. This is about little children being sexually abused.
Right.
And these pedophiles say that it's the child when it came on to them.
Yeah, well, how's an eight-day-old baby come on to you?
You know something? They don't. It's a sickness. They can never be cured. They can take all the pills that they want. You know, pills aren't going to help them.
No.
And no, they don't deserve another chance.
Death.
And this bill is to protect all our children.
Yeah.
I have fought it for 34 years, Phil. You know?
Oh, I know.
Some people would say, what are you, out of your tree? Well, at least we're getting somewhere.
Right.
You know, you're somewhere further today than what you were last week.
That's right.
The month before or last year. That's the important thing. It may not go as fast as you want, but you're one step ahead than where you were.
Well, you know, 10 years in the Judiciary Committee, when we first started this in 2001, and Hermes was with us, Phil.
Uh-huh.
You know, he came to our rallies and stuff like that, you know. We had hundreds of people that traveled all over. They come from Vermont. They came from New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island, Connecticut, you know. after 10 years, they started dwindling down because we weren't getting anywhere. And you know, even going to the State House, you know, for July 31st, there was very little people there. And you can't blame them, but somebody has to hold on.
Yeah.
Somebody has to hold on.
Yeah. Who is out there fighting for those kids every day? Not many people.
You know, I mean, you got agencies. But, you know, a lot of people have never experienced it. They're professionals. They get money from the federal government, you know. I mean, you have to have people out there. And some parents, back in the 80s when this happened, nobody knew what pedophilia was. Nobody.
No.
They never had a word for it because it was never spoken, but has been going on for hundreds of years.
No.
You know, it's so sad because so many lives are ruined. I mean, I'm thankful that I had the wisdom, only because I went through it, that I was going to make sure my son was going to get the help that he needed every day to fight this.
Right.
You know, some parents didn't know how to believe it. I mean, they put their teachers and doctors and lawyers and priests and everybody up on a pedestal because that was, you know, the hierarchy, you know. Oh, my God, this man works for God. He would never do anything like this. So this doctor has dedicated his life to a child, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, something, they all put their pants on the same way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they
they're
take them all up
different.
The same way.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
They're just wired different in the head.
And, you know, people used to say to me, well, they should let the priest get married. That would not help pedophilia.
No.
They don't want a woman. They want young boys under 13. That's what they want. And the younger, the better.
Yep. And I don't understand it. I'm sorry. I'm a parent. But anything I've been through in my life, I made sure my kids didn't go through it. And they didn't.
Well, in a lot of things, you know. Hey, we've all had a bad relationship in our lifetime. And as much as my daughters would listen to a perfect stranger before they'd listen to me, you know. One of my daughters said to me today, "Mom, you don't know how much I hurt." I says, "You don't think I was ever in love? You don't think I got messed up with the wrong guy?"
Yeah.
Of course I know what you're going through. You know, it's the old saying, children can't picture their parents having sex. Could you?
No.
Right.
Sex with your kids, and they're like, you know, too much information. We don't need to hear this.
Right. You know, so, I mean, it's... But they'd listen to... a perfect stranger before they would listen to their parents, you know. And I mean, it's norm. We did the same thing. What did I do at 45 when my mother said to me, "Hey, this guy's not right for you"? You know. Oh, Ma, please. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Marion said it wasn't until the 70s that addressed in the legal system.
What? Pedophilia? What are we talking about, Phil?
You said it wasn't until the 70s that it was even addressed in the legal system.
No, it was in the 80s. In the 80s, they didn't even know. It was about 89 when they finally realized the mass of pedophilia, you know.
Yeah.
It was in the late 80s.
Well, Marion also said, unfortunately, these days children aren't taught to tell, and that's molesters have become murderers, being pedophiles. Someone telling as an increased has increased exponentially. It's crazy.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. I think I was probably the first person that ever went up against a bishop, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I know I am the first person that's ever talked in the Catholic Church with a bishop about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is protecting these children.
Uh-huh.
You know? And you've got the wrong people that sit on the wrong committees that lobbyists can get to, and the insurance companies and the money is just stagnant out there. But, you know, now people are hearing about it and they want the right thing done. And I know myself, I'm going to make them accountable.
Yeah.
You know, I will make them accountable. I don't care how I have to embarrass them. I will make them accountable. And the bottom line is it's protecting our children. And if we can't, as parents, protect them, hey. You know, I remember when I was in Head Start. My children were in Head Start. This was in the early 70s. And I went to this national conference, and it was out in El Paso, Texas. And there had to be 7,000 of us parents there, which the federal government paid us, you know, paid our way out there and stuff like that. And I remember saying to the group of parents, because they were complaining that the workshops were done up by the directors. You know, they picked our workshops, you know. And I says, listen, you got to understand one thing. We're not the children. We're the parents. No matter if we're poor, rich, or indifferent.
Right.
We're supposed to pick our workshops. And I'll tell you why. Because if we don't put our children in that program, they don't have a job. So you force the hand. You tell them this is what we want. We're all grown up. We want to pick our own workshops. And it worked. Finally, they got off their ass and they said, this is what we want to do. From national down to regional down to each Head Start center. You know, the government would give each center $300 a year for the parents to go on trips with the kids and stuff like that. And we had one director here in Worcester, and he was in charge of all the Head Starts in Worcester. And I think we had five at a time, and they were all in churches. And it said in the guidelines from the federal government that you must have a director for over 500 children.
Right.
Must, okay. If you had under 500 children, you shall. In other words, we didn't have to have a director if we had under 500 children in the program.
Right.
So in order to get rid of this director, several of the parents took their children out of the Head Start program.
Wow.
And he had tenure, and he thought he was going to win.
Wow.
This guy was a crackpot. What he would do, he would take the $300, okay, and he would VIP people at regional meetings with our money. Then
right.
he would have us bake cakes and have cake sales to replace it. And when I become vice president of our little church at that time. I says, we're not doing that anymore. You touch that money, and I'm getting in touch with, at the time, which was ABCD, is what we called it. And it was out of Boston. And I says, you're not touching the money in the Worcester area ever again. And we got rid of them.
Yeah.
The school department, we said to them, I'll keep my mouth shut about this, but you're going to back us. And if you don't back us, then we're going to lose all the programs here in the city of Worcester. Because
right.
I'll be damned if I'm going to take and bake a cake to replace the money that he's spending to stand at the bar and set the bar up for all the other directors, you know.
Right.
I'm going to do that. So things can be done if it's done the right way.
Yeah.
You know? So. But you have to do it. Well, I guess I was a rubber rouser even back then, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, she says that quite often, though, the molester will be a family member or a close friend, someone the child and the parents trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be.
Huh?
It can be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It can be your father, be your stepfather, be your uncle. Yeah, it can be any of them.
Brother, sister.
Yep.
And that's when you sit there and trust no one.
You know, so, hey. You know, I remember telling my mother years later, and she smacked me in the face. So
uh-huh.
I didn't want to hear it. So.
Yeah, no, it's getting crazier by the day.
Yep. It certainly is, and that's because people's not taking back their country. They're letting all these idiots because they got a degree. Hey, don't get me wrong. Degrees can be good, you know. But when you get representatives and senators that we put in there, we should be able to take them out. You know, and if you don't do what the good old boys want you to do up on the hill, then you don't get picked to sit on different committees, which you get paid to sit on these committees, you know.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Phil.
Just call her in. 310?
Huh?
I'm talking to the caller, 310. Did you want to talk or you just want to listen?
Yeah, no. I completely agree that it's become too much government policing the police and harassing all those who actually don't do anything bad. It's a bad thing. I completely agree. We got to take them out. And the way this country's going, I don't see what's going to end up. It's going to end up another third world country.
Is that you, Richie?
That be me. What's up, Phil?
Come on.
Hey, Richie.
Hey.
Eunice is calling out of Massachusetts. Nora's out of Illinois, and she come by Chicago. She's actually in Boston.
I want them all gone. Hey, this whole country is going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, Richie, what do you think about these pedophiles?
You know what? They're making laws now to help the pedophiles. It's bullshit. Anybody that's a parent would want to see them gone and taken out. And the way the laws come around, you know, it's become politically incorrect to be a non-homosexual, non-Muslim, non-everything else. It's like the rights of the people are no longer. We're minorities. We're minorities on every level. And it's bullshit. They're making it, you know, it's NAMBLA. It's probably, the only people that are happy now are probably NAMBLA. Because they're going to be like acceptable soon. They're going to have more rights than me walking my kids to school.
Over my dead body, Rich.
Well, no shit. Not on my watch.
No, not on mine either.
And that's how I roll. Hey, I'm going to get something to eat, bro.
All right, man.
Good to talk to you. I'll talk to you soon, bro.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Who's that, Phil?
That was one of my friend Richie. He's on a he's actually prospecting for Bernie's county boys fire department riding club.
Oh, okay.
Good guy. Good guy. So Nora, you want to play an argument?
What?
So you want to escalate an argument, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's on? What's bugging you, kiddo?
Oh, there's a lot bugging me. I don't know. This topic really burns my butt. It does. Every time I hear of a child getting abused, I just want to smack stupid people. I do. Nothing gets done, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's a child, if it's a teenager, if it's an adult. Scars remain with them for life. You know, there's no justice.
No.
What is the justice? You've got actual predators out there, and they're registered. Some of them are, others aren't. You know, it just makes me sick. I think they should all just be put to death.
I mean, I don't. Yeah. I don't even know where to go with that one.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
You know, for people that have been abused, okay, it leaves a huge, huge scar. You know, and I don't mean like in regards, it can be towards relationships, it can be towards whatever, you know, but it just leaves a scar that's unimaginable. And, you know, it's just something no one should go through. No one.
Well, Nora, that's what we're trying to stop. And hopefully if we can get this done, we can probably go federal with it. It's, I think every sex offender, you know, they shouldn't classify in 1, 2, or 3. They should be 3. Because they do it
just
once, they're going to do it.
Classified as what they are.
That's right.
You know, I mean, if somebody gets charged with a DUI, they're a drunk driver. There's no classification. There's no numerical classification. DUI. If you get arrested for a bank robber, that's what you're arrested for. You know, it took...
Yeah.
Let's see... I was in that position, but it was by a friend of my brother's. And you think that you're safe, you know, with people, and you're not.
Yeah.
Trust is very hard for me. And when I put it there, you better live up to it, or I'm done. I'll cut you out with cancer. But it took me from the age of 12 until last year. It was very odd how it came about. My brother has been gone now for 8 years. And the sad thing is, the person came and requested me on Facebook. And all I could think about is what that person did way back when, because I didn't have a voice. I was pushed to relatives and ended up in foster care, okay?
Yeah.
And... when that person came to talk to me, I just said, do you have any idea what you did? He didn't remember, you know, because when drugs are in play, you know.
Yeah,
something like that's a crock of bullshit.
Let me interrupt you for you guys for a second real quick. Whatever you're writing, I can see it, but whatever I'm writing, they're playing games with. So if you want to call in, the number's 347-826-7753. Okay, I'm sorry, Nora, go ahead.
No, that's okay. You know, that was the excuse that was portrayed to me, you know. And I sat there and I said, I don't care. It's an excuse. I've been around next my whole entire life. There's an excuse upon excuse. It doesn't end. And I sat there. I said, you know what? I've carried this weight since I was 12. Now it's in your hands. Now you get to carry what you did to me. You have to make peace with it.
Yeah.
That's what you call a strong individual, Nora, and that's you. And you know, you did nothing wrong.
No,
this person.
I mean, the worst thing was, you know, I mean, after when I had my kids, I swore to myself, when it came to my daughters, when people wanted to date them and stuff, I mean, I sat there and I did not care. I said, if you think about sticking your dick to my kid, it'll be mine, and you will not like what I do.
Well,
because
that's really...
I didn't want to see anything happen to my daughters. You know what I'm saying? So the boys were always scared. They were scared of me. You know, my daughters understood. But, you know, I said, you don't get it. You can't just trust Joe Schmo and that he's going to be this nice person. No, the majority of teenagers, all they want is a piece of ass, and they go. That's how it is. Save yourself for somebody that's worth it, not for a piece of shit.
My daughter had a paper route when she was 12. And there was a company that distributed to big restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a house next door to this, and they used the first floor as a warehouse.
Right.
And she delivered papers there on the second floor. So back then, they used to go up the three flights of stairs or whatever they had to drop the paper off. So anyways, she come home shaking like a leaf. And I said to her, what's wrong, Dee? You know, and this was in the afternoon. This, you know, she delivered. We had two papers, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and she did the afternoon.
Right.
So she said some guy tried to grab her into the warehouse. So I took her by the arm, the hand. I had a baseball bat with a rod down the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I walked down to, I knew the owner. So I said, get your employees out here. And he did. And I said, now you tell me, my daughter, which one. And she's pointed to the guy.
Uh-huh.
Well, I started swinging and broke his arm.
Wow.
And they called the cops.
Of course.
And, So the cops came. And I said, you tell the policeman what this guy tried to do to you. And she told him, and crying hysterically.
Uh-huh.
And I says, now I'm going to tell you what I did to him. Yes, I did break his arm, and I'll break the other one if you'll just turn your back. I said, this is my cub. This is my cub. Do you understand that? And nobody puts their hand on her.
Right.
So the cop took him away.
Yeah.
You know. But I've always done that. You know, nobody. I remember she brought this guy home, and I worked three jobs, and I had just got a new living room set. She was probably 22, 23, but my girls lived at home until they got married, you know.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, as you walked up the flight of stairs, I lived on the first floor, you could look into the living room, and here she is sitting on the couch with this guy's head on her lap.
Uh-huh.
So I come in the front door, and he's still laying there. Phil, you know. So I go, hey, hi. I forgot what his name is. My name's George. His name was George. I says, hi. I says, I'm Mrs. Lorenz, and that's my daughter, and that's my fucking couch you're laying on, so get off it. He says, what? I says, get off my couch. You know? I says, now see this door? You take that right now. And he says, well, your daughter invite. I says, this is my home. Not my daughter's. So I go into my bedroom, which was right off the living room, and I come out with that nice little baseball bat. I says, now where do you want it? In the back of your legs? Get the fuck out of my house now.
Wow.
My daughter says to me, Ma, you embarrassed me. I says, oh, really? Did you pay for this set? No. Then it's mine. Did that man jump up and sit up in a position when I walked through that door? He had no respect for you and less for me.
Yeah.
This is my house. And if you don't like it, you go in and you pack your things and you leave too.
Wow.
I mean, I just don't like shit like that, you know? You would think he would have jumped right up and stood at attention, you know? Oh, God, I just don't believe how, I don't know.
How people are, yeah.
Yeah, I really.
Well, yeah, I mean, my youngest daughter, she was underage working at our local hardware store. And the manager, one manager was in his 50s, married, had grown kids, you know, and was hitting on my daughter. I went psychotic. I can't call it anything other than being psychotic, you know. He actually had the nerve because I called and dealt with a person, and I said, do you have any idea what your employee is doing to my daughter or trying to do? And I said, and let it be known, she is underage. And actually, the head person figured, just go over there and apologize. You know? Worst mistake. I live on the main street to begin with. And when the person actually came, knocked on my door, traffic was backed up, kids were being let out of school. And I went out on my front porch. I said, you sick motherfucker. I mean, I was screaming. I mean, everyone heard. Do you think I care? No. And I said, you're married. You have grown children. And you're going to hit on my underage daughter? Are you fucking kidding me? Not in this lifetime. I mean, my neighbors came out because I was.
I would have went right to his wife.
I did go to his wife because I had the emails. I had a copy of the emails, you know, from him to my daughter. And she sat there and she's like, I don't believe it. I said, then you know what? You deserve the fucking piece of shit motherfucker that you're married to. Keep him away from my kid. I said, or you're not going to like what comes from behind me. It's
amazing.
Sick.
Yep.
That's it. You know, and then I went and I called the head person, the head manager, or whatever, top person at the hardware store, and I said, you fat motherfucker, you're going to send a fucking piece of shit that's been hitting on my kid to my home to have him apologize, and you think this is okay? I said, what would you think if a cop comes rolling up in your store wanting to know why your 50-something-year-old employee is hitting on an underage girl? I said, you want that kind of publicity? You want a newspaper in there?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yes,
totally unbelievable.
But But you know what? You do what you do. You know? I didn't give a shit if every person in their cars were hearing me scream. I didn't give a shit. Because, you know, if it was somebody else's kid, I bet their parents probably would have reacted the same way. And if not, then they shouldn't be parents.
Yeah.
Because fighting for your kids start at home. And if you can't do that, then you don't deserve to be a parent.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that shouldn't be parents either.
I know. Nope. I've seen my share.
Fran just joined us.
Hi, Fran.
No, she's not on the phone.
No, I know. But she can hear me.
Yeah.
Well, guys.
Yeah. You get us all going riled up because it makes me just want to fight with people. You know, oh, God. You know. Sometimes it takes somebody that's been in that position to come out full swinging. Oh, I hate them. They just deserve to die. They do not deserve to live.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
No.
Well, I hope you don't mind if I bug out.
No, I understand.
Totally.
That's why I can get my blood pressure
right
to settle down. Just kidding.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. No,
okay.
Because it's something that, you know, people need to be aware of. You know, for anybody that hasn't been abused in some form or another, has no fucking clue what it is or how to fight.
Right.
Nope, they don't. And the only person going to take care of you is you.
That's right.
And if not, shame on me.
Well, I got a long day tomorrow. And these old bones
are cracking. Make sure you eat a good warm breakfast.
I will.
Yeah.
And then if anything happens, I'll call you, Phil.
Okay. Thanks, Lou.
All right.
You have a good night.
Okay, guys.
Night,
Eunice. Talk to you later. Yeah, good night, dear. Bye-bye.
I'm sorry. That just gets my goat. It really does. It just makes me hassle, you know?
Yeah. Well, Fran just asked me what time the run starts on Sunday. And actually, the Tijuana Toy Run in...
Tijuana?
Yeah. And the party or the big cover-up, which is Bill's run at Kennedy's for blankets, socks, whatever, and goes to the homeless, Brother Benos. Bill's doing okay. He just had a rough day today, and he didn't work today. But he's been riding his bike every day. So
you guys are going down to Mexico again?
No, not sure yet.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's what the run is for, right?
Yeah, but that.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that yet.
Sorry.
Depends on how he feels. All right. Hang on a second. Hello there, Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Well, good evening, everybody.
How you doing?
Life has been challenging and fun and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
So,
oh, yes.
That blanket cover-up, so where are we starting that? And I know we're ending it at Kennedy's.
It's living out of New York, Mike.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, Mike is being a ball buster, and he's having both runs on the same day.
Well, he did. Last year, too.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? To be honest with you, I don't know if that's actually so bad, because there are a number of people that no longer want to go to Mexico, so they'll bring a toy, but they either buy a blanket there, or they bring a couple blankets and do the run to Kennedy. I met a young puppy, and so the young puppy is going to meet me, and we're going to go to the horse club. And I hopefully, if things all go right, I should have about 30 blankets on the back of the bike.
Cool. 30 blankets?
About 30. Or
wow.
No, excuse me, 10.
10? Oh, okay. Gonna say 30, you'd be a little heavy there, especially if it's raining.
Well, if it's raining, I'm sorry, all those blankets are gonna be going in a car, honey.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, as you know, I can pack 30 on that bike, but I believe that the inn that I have at one of the facilities will be getting me at least 10 to 15 blankets. And since I've been having some electrical difficulties, my friend just put a new battery in my bike while I was at work.
Uh-huh.
I got a good battery to run this shop, so I'm not going to be stuck on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always so much fun because when it gets to that point, and I know that it's the battery issue, and if all of a sudden they're filled with gas, I've had this big backfire, and I wake up everybody at 7 in the morning.
Wow.
Hey, look, it could have been worse. When I was working down in the welding, I'd leave the house here at 5. You have to have some fun. There were a lot of not very happy neighbors.
No, I don't think so.
Well, hey, that's the way life is, you know? I mean, hey, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I'm going to be picking up those blankets tomorrow, and I'm hoping that the person I know is going to pick in some jackets too. That'd be nice.
Okay.
You always ask for the max, and if you get half of what you ask for, then you've been blessed. But you always ask for the max. Hopefully. So, life is good. You know, I heard some of what was going on, because I just got in and had some. Eating my face because I haven't eaten. But when you're talking about children and stuff, I don't have any of my own, but I have a lot of children. And I adopt, it's kind of great because you go fast forward. So it was actually, I have a young military man who I have two grandchildren by. And before he married,
well, so hold on. Somebody just asked me if the blankets have to be new or used. If you don't have one, I think whatever you got or get is a good thing. You're fading in and out, Fran.
Both are acceptable. Primarily because a number of those bikes go directly to the homeless, and now that we've had double the homeless this year, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be needing some warmth.
There's more vets out there this year than there's ever been.
That's sad.
Yeah, the survey said last year was like 1,700. This year it's doubled. It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know what we can do.
The economy doesn't help either.
No, that's bullshit. The economy has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. The big question.
I promise. Nora, you got to understand. There's guys down the street that need medicine and stuff that they don't get. Because they get frustrated, and they get because they feel that they got their backs were turned on them.
Well, yeah, a lot of them they have been. And who wants to sit there and wait the length of time that they have to? That's not fair. You know, they went over to do something, they come back, and it's nothing but paperwork. And waiting, and waiting, and waiting.
You know, we just talked Bill into going to get his.
Yeah.
And he's,
that's
what
I'm saying.
And he was one of the first ones to say, no, let a guy that needs it get it. Well, the guys that need it can't get it.
I know.
Now, in either case, it's not, when it comes to medicine, no one should have to wait for medicine. Never.
No, but unfortunately they do. It's politics.
You know something? I have issues with the hospital. One, a lot of the nurses and some of the doctors are not following the correct protocol anymore.
No.
And so, and when a hospital is allowed to charge $20 for aspirins, when you can buy almost a case for that kind of dollars, something is wrong in that equation.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%.
And I mean, that's all, a lot of times that's all they're giving the patient is Tylenol. They're putting $25 for that one pill. And it just makes me a little annoyed.
A little?
How is Bill doing?
He just had a rough day. He didn't go into work today.
It was kind of nasty out there. Unfortunately, a number of Californians do not know how to drive in this stuff. And when they hydroplane, and then they wonder why they met the people around them rather abruptly. You know?
Uh-huh.
On my bike, I had made a comment because a woman, Auntie, was spinning her tires at the gas station. And when her boyfriend got out of the car, she says, I guess you missed the fact that the road was wet. And they both looked at me like, huh? Oh, my.
Yeah. You're fading in and out on me a little bit.
I'm sorry. I'm half thinking about buying a new phone. And at this point, I've been having so much trouble with this iPhone.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that the next one's going to be an iPhone.
Uh-huh.
You know, getting to a point where when the leader of the pack died, I think a number of the people that followed the leader of the pack didn't learn from the leader of the pack of quality and what needs to be done. So it's like, okay, so maybe the next one needs to be from another company.
Uh-huh.
So what else do we have going on? I don't know if anyone managed to go to the VA hospital. I was not able to attend this year.
That was last weekend.
Right, I know, but any reports kind of thing on that? Because I said I was not able to attend.
I didn't get anything on it.
Okay. Is there, I'm flying to New York, so I'm going to be here for 10 days.
Uh-huh.
Oh, freeze my butt.
Nah.
Hey.
It's going to be raining and shitty while you're there.
Oh, you're coming in this weekend?
I'll be in New York by next weekend.
Oh, next weekend. I was going to say this weekend it's going to be rainy and stuff and cold. I don't know about next weekend yet.
Well, by the time it's rainy and cold for you, by the time she gets there, it'll be rainy and cold for her.
Yeah.
Huh. That is correct.
Our weather isn't going to change until we hit spring.
Oh, and you're going to get a lot of snow in the next couple of weeks because it's all going from here going that way. I'm sending it to you.
Good. It's money-making season.
Well, at least I don't have to ride my bike in it all the way across.
There you go.
Yes. Hey, there are people that ride here in the wintertime. I can honestly tell you that. I've had many bikes parked in my garage covered in snow.
I mean, I've been in a chill or two. And that's, yeah. But if I can avoid it, I definitely will. And to be honest with you, it's not that I'm afraid to ride in it. What it is it concerns me for the people who are driving around me.
Yeah.
And their driving ability, unfortunately, has really gone down a lot.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
I mean, one of the newer, I don't know if you've noticed, but the newest pattern now is because you're a bike and you only need part of the lane, when they're passing and stuff, they now actually come across in your lane to get to the next lane. And if you didn't catch that sucker coming into your lane on you, as he's passing you, on hopefully doesn't hit your front tire as he goes to that next lane, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's the new game in town. And I tell you what, if I were a cop, I'd shoot every single one of them. Without a doubt. That is such poor driving. It just drives me insane.
Mm. Yeah, well, Marion says, Nora, you can make all the money on snow that you want.
Yeah, you know, there's, you know, you can go anywhere from $6 to $1,000 a month. Good business for it here.
Yeah.
Just have to have the right things. I know a friend of mine, he posted up and saying, what do you want for Christmas? You know, just to see what people would say. I said, winter coat. He goes, you don't have one? I said, no, I haven't had one in years. I use hoodies and long sleeve shirts and no thermal, so, but yeah, that's why I always get all the shirts really big so I can layer. But I get laughed at a lot. Like today, I was wearing a size 5X. It's called tough skin.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you people were talking about, like, the kid, I went straight to an adult kid, and best day was when he came to my house with a young lady, and he was looking for approval. Old-fashioned, you like her mom, and which, oh, without a doubt, are you kidding? She was gorgeous. And the personality was even better than the beauty. But it felt so good that he brought her to the house. And to be honest with you, if I had said no, he would not have married her.
Yeah.
Really?
But you just don't see that anymore.
No.
No.
Oh, Phil, I wanted to tell you real quick about my dinner guest over the weekend. Holy crap. my daughter was at the table with us. All my grandsons, we were eating, you know. And, but anyways, long story short, when I was getting ready to leave, because she wasn't here when he first got here. When I was getting ready to leave, I was standing on the dogs, that which is like a cat-sized mattress, you know, because she has tumors and she's old and I just want her to be comfortable. So I stood on top of that, still on my tippy toes, and I still wasn't tall enough to give that man a hug, but he had to bend like halfway over or half down. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
you know, I always tell people this is like the midget house.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I always get told, let's put the little guy in the middle.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Imagine that just 5 inches shorter, okay? I was like, holy. my daughter's like, oh, my God, are you tall? And he was telling me that, you know, he couldn't, like, try to figure out how 5 feet would be to him. And I said, I'm 5'2". My daughter is 5'1", so I had her stand up. He goes, oh, my God. Like, I know. Crazy. Yeah.
Well, I think what I'm going to do
there
is,
not hungry. Oh, check out early?
Yeah. I got some stuff I got to do in the morning, and I want to get a good night's sleep and a long day today.
If I can put a word out there tonight.
Yes, you can.
We're coming on, as everybody knows, a holiday. Christmas.
Right.
If you don't want to call it Christmas, Holiday of Lights, whatever, Hanukkah, whatever you want to call it. However, please, for anyone who's out there, if you have a friend that is in emotional need, please extend your hand. This is the highest time where people will actually do suicide. So at this point, please, folks out there, remember that a friend, or you know what? It doesn't even have to be a friend. You know what the words are. You can hear it.
Yeah.
So please.
I know.
That's all I ask.
I've already extended out to people because I don't like to see people alone on holidays either because it's very depressing. I've been there myself. You know what I mean? So I've already put it out there. You need a place, come to my home.
What's
you know?
Interesting is that, you know, I feel bad for the families when someone does suicide. And it's unfortunate because they become very bitter, and it's the, why me? Why did they do this to me?
Right.
And the sad thing is, the real question should be, is maybe they did it to save you.
Yeah.
And there's, like they say, two sides to a coin.
Right.
What was on that other side of the coin?
I don't know. You have to look at it in a different perspective. You can't take it as a personal attack.
I can understand when there's children involved and this and that. But you know what? Unfortunately, the pain is so great that they can only see the pain that they're going through and their children are going through, but not the pain of the one that did it.
I know.
You know, sometimes the medicines don't work.
No.
Hopefully they work anyway, but that's me. And we've got to do better. We have to do better than what we're doing.
Right.
It's true.
We're having way too many people coming back from war. They don't fit. It actually, you know, it's interesting because if you go back, maybe we should get them back into motorcycling. Because that's how that started way back then anyhow. And that's what kept a lot of the men going back then.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know it, but there's some of the people out on Pendleton send the guys down to talk to Bill.
Good.
They actually send them down there to hang out.
Good.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, because you know what? That's, I mean, when you really go back and see the races and all that back, way back then, those were military outcasts.
Yep.
Yeah.
They didn't belong anywhere.
Almost like the misfits. Yeah.
Well, they were the misfits. They were angry.
Yeah.
They didn't fit. And they were who they were.
Right.
and they just became part of us. Or actually, I should say, we became part of them.
Yeah.
Since they were before us. But yeah, you're right. Maybe what we should do is when they come home, introduce them to the fast track. Say,
yeah.
Come on, boy. Jump on the two, you know, this little two-wheel. And
yeah,
just get
well,
them started.
Some of them are doing it the wrong way, bud.
Yeah, but you know something? How many that are getting on a wheel, that it's actually saving them because it's taking them somewhere where they still get a thrill. They still, it's
well,
still...
Well, yeah, it gives them the adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And people will fight you on that, say, oh, no, that's not the reason they're doing it. Oh, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, that's when John always knew that when I was getting dangerous, and he would actually tell me, don't you want to go for a motorcycle ride? And that was before he learned to ride a bike. I mean, he did that to keep me company.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he called it PMS, Park Motorcycle Syndrome. And he would tell me, you need to go for a ride so I could mellow out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And maybe that there's people out there that if they did learn to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
It would change. Well, I know for women it changes their personality. If women who are real shy, if they ride and they ride for 1 year, and I'm talking ride, not just, weekend warrior stuff. Their personality changes so much that they're no longer a little piece of fluff and wimp.
Yeah.
I'd stack them up against any regular guy, and I bet they're going to win.
Yeah.
So I did hear you say that you needed to possibly go nighty-night.
Yeah.
I'm going to say...
I'm going to take a little Charlie Baker, since we're talking about writing. This is his song called Ride. You can get it at bakersongs.com. I'm going to let Charlie take it, and I'll talk to you guys Tuesday.
Okay. Good night. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, me, but I'll talk to you guys when I get back from New York.
Okay.
All right, well, maybe I'll see you Sunday.
I will be there Sunday.
Okay.
Enjoy your trip.
All right,
thanks.
We'll see you then.
Be safe, everybody.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.